57 this morning. We're in Psalm 57. If you don't have your own Bible, there's a blue pew Bible under a chair in front of you. The Psalms are in about the middle of the Bible, and this is going to be, I think, on page 477, if I'm remembering right, page 477 in one of those blue Bibles under a chair in front of you, Psalm 57. Well, we just finished a new series that, well, it's not new anymore, a series that we just finished recently was called Ones, where we looked at every book of the Bible, all five that have one chapter, and I really enjoyed that. We spent one Sunday in each of those books, and then two Sundays in the book of Jude. And last Sunday, Robert Briard, one of our former interns, came back after being gone for a couple of years now, and brought the word and really opened up our summer in the Psalms, where we're going to be in different Psalms each Sunday through July and August. And as you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 57, or if you have it open already, take a look at verse 1 of Psalm 57. Listen to this very first verse of this psalm. It says, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by." Boy, this past week, talk about storms in our region and in our state. I mean, on Monday morning, Melanie and I were out doing some things we needed to do, and she happened to see a picture in a Facebook forum of downtown Londonderry. And we immediately thought it was a fake picture, because it was so crazy to see a car covered up like that. And then when we realized it was real, did a little more searching, found out it was real, we started calling and texting as many of you as we could to find out how things were and if you were doing okay. I mean, just crazy thinking about some of the horrific destruction that has happened in our region, in the mountains, in our community this past week. Some of your neighbors, as many of you have told me, are needing to move or leave their houses, at least for a time. And as we were just talking about, we're trying to figure out ways that we can help through Baptist Disaster Relief and working with Vermont Emergency Management to help as needed. I want you to think, as you've seen large storms this week, what do you do when a storm comes? Well, there's many different things you might do, right? I asked the kids that this week at FCA camp, and I think one of them said scream or something like that. But I said, well, it's one thing you might do, but then what else do you do? The next thing you do is you get somewhere where it's safe. You find a refuge. You go inside of your house or at least a car until the storm passes by. And this is exactly what we see in verse 1 of Psalm 57. So today we are looking at this precious psalm, Psalm 57, together as we contemplate not only preparation for our hearts so that we can take our refuge in God's wings, under the shadow of God's wings, when that time comes, when that is needed, but also so we can have the psalmist heart of praise that I want you to see in this psalm as well. Praise to God no matter what. Psalm 57 is really a remarkable psalm because do you notice at the very beginning of the psalm, those capital letters in many of your Bible versions, those big letters right before verse 1 are part of the original psalms, and this one shows us the circumstances, which not a lot of the psalms do. We know why this psalm was written. You're going to notice at the top it says, "To the choir master, according to Do Not Destroy," so that would have been a song people knew, kind of like saying according to the tune of Auld Lang Syne or something like that. And then it says, a miktam, it's a musical style probably, of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Now, this is incredible. He's in a cave fleeing for his own life. And as you look at different times that we know David was in a cave, it seems that it was probably when he went to the cave of Adullam or Adullam, which is in 1 Samuel chapter 22. So you might want to just mark 1 Samuel 22 or take a quick look for yourself or write it down to look at later. The beginning of 1 Samuel 22, we read about how David went to the cave of Adullam. I want to remind you that when David was anointed king as a young boy, really, or teenager, there was this time in between him being anointed, killing Goliath, serving in King Saul's palace and then running for his life from Saul. Remember, Saul became very jealous of David, and he would go between this kind of crazy mode of, I want to kill that man no matter what, to, oh, David, you're so great, you know, let me come talk to you. And he'd go back and forth between that. And during that time, David would spend many nights camping outside or fleeing for his life, maybe with a little army that he was starting to gather. And many nights were spent camping out in a cave, hiding from Saul for his own life. The land of Israel has many caves. They're really all over the place. It's pretty fascinating. And when I got to study there for 4 months in college back in 2000, one of the field assignments I had for a Life of David class was to go spend the night in the cave of Adullam. And so we got to go out and camp in that cave. And so I can kind of picture this in my mind, you know, thinking about being in a cave. But here's the thing. If you look up 1 Samuel 22 or you do it later, you're going to see David was in real danger. You know, we go out to go camping. You might be camping this summer. Our Summer in the Psalms, you know, logo for the sermons on the website is a tent next to a campfire. And that's what we think of when we think of camping. And that's a great thing. But just imagine camping out and wondering, really, not just if there's wild animals out there, but if there's a crazy king who is going to come and kill you. And 1 Samuel 22 is not only at the beginning pretty crazy how David is running for his life and stays in the cave of Adullam with a small army, but also as you get to the end of 1 Samuel 22, you see Saul getting so angry that some were helping the future King David, that he actually killed 85 priests. It was in a city called Nob. Do you remember that in 1 Samuel 22? And one of the priests, or a few that had been at the tabernacle, had helped David on his way. They gave him some bread. They gave him Goliath's sword. They inquired of God for him. And Saul was so angry that they did this that he not only killed 85 priests, but that was a priestly town, and he killed all of their families. It even says in 1 Samuel 22, women, children, infants, even sheep and oxen and goats. So just imagine, you know, it's, I think it helps us think about how the distress that David is really under. It helps us understand what David is going through as he writes Psalm 57. And here's what I want you to think about that really struck me in a fresh way this week. David was running for his life because he was in God's will. Have you ever thought about that? God was the one who anointed David. David didn't ask for it. And yet, because he was in God's will, he has this king coming against his very life. And it shows us once again that following God is not always easy. And yet he knows that he can cry out to the living God to help him in these sufferings in life. So I want you to notice this morning as we jump in here in Psalm 57 that David is singing. And that's why I've called it singing in a cave. Singing while his life is in danger, singing to God. Somebody once said that Christians are strange people because not only do we sing when we're going through difficult times, or maybe just even in the middle of a spiritual battle, going through a difficult time with our faith or in ministry, but when the battle gets really intense, we sing louder and with greater intensity and praise towards God because we're crying out to him for help, but we're also praising him in the midst of the storm. And that's what you see with what David writes here in Psalm 57. And why? As you're also going to see in Psalm 57, because our God is worthy of praise no matter what is happening. As David writes the Psalm of Praise, I want you to notice, remember the Psalms are songs. They're poems that were written to be sung in praise to God. And you're going to see basically two stanzas. You know, songs often have two stanzas, like kind of like a chorus. And you're going to see the same refrain or chorus in verses 5 and 11. So if you take a look at verse 5, of Psalm 57. You see, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And then look down at the end of the psalm in verse 11. You see the same thing there. So these two stanzas kind of frame the psalm. They kind of bring us back to crying out to God when things are difficult, but also praising him and asking him to be exalted in our circumstances and even beyond us is what David is moving towards. So first we're going to see in verses 1 to 5, cry out to God for mercy when you need it. Verses 1 through 5, cry out to God for mercy when you need it. Let's read verse 1 again. He says, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I want you to notice that David asked God for mercy twice. Now he's writing a song, he's inside of the cave, and think about it. The reason that he asked God twice in the same verse and then two times, you're going to see this idea later in the psalm as well, is not because God is hard of hearing. It's not because he's inside of a cave and God can't hear him. It's because he's feeling it so intensely as he cries out to God for mercy. He feels his need for mercy from the living God so deeply. And what he's doing here is he's taking refuge from Saul in the cave, but he says to God, in you, my soul takes refuge. He's saying, God, just like this cave covers me when a storm passes by, you are covering me, God, when this storm, which is in David's life a crazy king who's trying to kill him, until that passes by, I'm taking refuge in you. Think about it. This is different than simply biting our lips so we don't cry. In fact, he's bringing his emotions to God. This is different than pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. This is David admitting that he needs help and then crying out to God who can give it. And then notice, David actually finds help from God. He really finds help from God as he cries out to him. Take a look at the end of verse 1. He says, until the storms of destruction pass by. Here's one thing that's encouraging to me. It's not that we only find refuge in God when there's a storm, but it's, think about it this way. It's that the storm, whatever it is we're going through in life, pushes us into that cave until the thunder and lightning stop. You see the idea there? So it's meant to push us closer to God. But here's the thing that we see here. Notice, I love this in verse 1, because sometimes we just feel like it's just wave after wave of difficulty in life. And he says, until the storm passes by. We need to remember, too, the Bible also shows life is not always a storm. There's many calmer, happier days, refuge of our soul. Storm will pass, but here's the thing that we can remember. God is the refuge of our soul in those happy times, when the sun is shining like it's supposed to tomorrow, and when it's more rain and more possible flooding like it is today. God meets us in a special way when we're in the middle of that storm. Notice that word picture there in verse 1. Besides taking refuge in a cave, he says at the end of verse 1, in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. Jesus described himself like a mother hen wanting to protect her chicks from the storm under her wings. When he mourned the fact that Jerusalem would be overthrown and the temple destroyed because they had rejected him as king. Listen to what he said in one place in the Gospels. He says it twice. Matthew 23:37, he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Do you hear the heart of the Savior saying, I want to be your refuge? And that's one of the questions this morning is, will you listen to Jesus? Will you come under his wings, under the shadow of his wings for protection, for refuge? One news service reported that shortly after the biggest forest fire so far in a national park, the 1988 forest fire in Yellowstone National Park, forest rangers were starting to go look for what had happened and what kind of destruction had really taken place after the fire had died down. And one ranger found a bird that looked like it was petrified under a tree. It was kind of a, almost like a statue, kind of a gray, and the ranger was kind of grossed out by it. So he struck it with a stick to knock it over, and three little live tiny chicks scurried out. And what had happened is that mother bird, who could have flown away to safety, gathered her chicks under her wings, made sure they were safe, and then she stood there and stood her ground and died to protect them so that her chicks could live. Right here in verse 1, take a look at verse 1 again. I want us to look at Psalm 57 from this side of the cross after Jesus has died. When I tell you, cry out to God for mercy when you need it, remember, although Jerusalem in general rejected Jesus as their king, he still took the storm for those who would come to him. He took the full punishment of God's wrath against sin. Just this week, think about that storm, you know, on Thursday, where there was that darkness and that thunder and lightning, and everyone was kind of overwhelmed at how intense that little section of that storm was as it passed by. Jesus experienced so much worse, not only physically, but spiritually, as he took God's wrath for us spiritually on the cross. We don't even know what it takes to pay for one sin. And yet Jesus died. Jesus took God's wrath for our sins, and it killed him. But then he rose from the dead. He's alive again. He defeated even death. And so if we trust in him today, we can take refuge under his wings. We can take shelter in him no matter what is happening in life. And so when you come to God wondering if you will find refuge for your soul, you might be going through something really difficult and think, okay, I know God is my refuge, but this is really hard. And that's okay to say that. That's what David is saying here. Do you see that? We're not told as Christians that we ignore our emotions or that we don't cry out to God, but he says, cry out to God for mercy. He's modeling that here. But here's the thing. We can know that we will receive mercy because Jesus died and Jesus rose again for us. We can know that we will be accepted by God and that we can find refuge in him as we trust in him. Take a look at verse 2. David says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. Verse 3, he will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. Notice, David doesn't just cry out to God. What is it that he says in verse 2? To God Most High. This is why he can say that God will send from heaven and save him, because he knows that he's crying out to the living God, the Most High God, the God who is higher than any other. And what will he do for David? I love the end of verse 2. Do you notice that? He says he will fulfill his purpose for him. In Hebrew, which the Psalms were originally written in, this could literally be translated to God who completes regarding me. Do you see the idea there? He's saying God will fulfill his purpose for you. So did you know that you can sing when you're in a cave like David because you can rest assured that God will complete his purpose for you? God has a purpose for every person in this room. And so the question is, if you don't know your purpose in life, you're just going to wander aimlessly and you'll feel aimless. But if you know that your chief purpose in life is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, if you can trust that God will complete his purpose for you no matter what that looks like, then you can sing in a cave. And here's what encourages me from these first just couple of verses is, again, the reminder that crying out to God brings actual help, real help from the living God. Just this week, I spoke with someone who's a recent widow after being married for 70 years. And she told me that as she was crying out to God, as she saw her husband suffering and then dying, she knew that he was trusting in Jesus for his salvation. And she said, you know, I didn't just cry out to God because I knew it was what I was supposed to do. She said, I cried out to God because I needed help. And I received help from God. And then I went and studied Psalm 57. I thought, bingo, there it is. We cry out to God because not only is it what we're supposed to do, but because he actually gives us real help. Take a look at verse 4. Notice how intensely David feels this. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts. The children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. And then verse 5, that refrain, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Do you notice how David has confidence in verse 3 that God will send from heaven and save him? But here he is, he says, in the midst of a lion's den. I love this poetic description of David's enemies, right? They're not only maybe saying bad things about him or trying to attack him. David says their teeth are like spears and arrows. Their tongues are sharp swords. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, they're saying bad things about me, but this is a psalm. This is poetry. So their tongues are like sharp swords. Have you ever experienced that? You know, sometimes the stress of a bad job situation or a family or relationship situation can feel worse than somebody like Saul coming with spears and arrows to attack you or kill you. And here, when David cries out to God for mercy, he brings that to God. And then we have this chorus he goes right into in verse 5. Even with this intense problem, he says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. You know, what has gotten me through some of the most difficult times of life is praise. Whether it's praising God alone, singing alone, maybe in the car or somewhere else going for a walk or something, maybe listening to praise music and singing along with it, or being with God's people and singing, often a combination of all three of those things. And why? Well, there's so many reasons, but partly because when we praise, we're going to God and we're reminded who God is and we're giving him the worship that he created us to give him. So we're completing the purpose that he created us for. Do you see how this all ties into what we just saw in verses 1 through 5? And then we can have confidence that he's with us in that storm, that he's our refuge. I love how Tim and Kathy Keller explain this in their devotional on the Psalms. It's called the Songs of Jesus. If you're looking to dig into the Psalms a little more, for me, I've often used the Songs of Jesus, the Keller devotional, as kind of a little commentary, just looking at it briefly to understand the psalm a little better. Melanie has used it during her devotions time in the past, and it's been a great encouragement to her. It'd be a good book for you to get, The Songs of Jesus by Tim and Kathy Keller. And they say this. They say, deeper than disaster, danger, and distress is the desire for God to be glorified. If that can be accomplished by saving us from our circumstances, then praise God. If it is better accomplished by our circumstances remaining unchanged while we continue to show our confidence in God before the watching world, praise God as well. And then they say this about Psalm 57. Either way, God fulfills his purpose for you as you delight to honor him. So first we see in verses 1 to 5, cry out to God for mercy when you need it. That's kind of the prayer part of this psalm. The next few verses, the last section, verses 6 through 11, is the praise part. So there's prayer, and then there's praise. And the next is cry out to God and praise no matter what. Look at verse 6. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. After taking a break to praise God in verse 5, David gets back to the problem of his enemies in verse 6. But this time, notice the difference in verse 6 there. He can see the perspective of eternity. He basically says, look, those who've dug a pit to hurt me, it's falling back down on themselves. He's basically giving it to God. He's trusting in God's ways. He's leaving things in God's hands with his enemies. Think about Mordecai in the book of Esther. We literally see what David just said in verse 6, that it falls back on themselves when they set a trap for someone else. Mordecai in the book of Esther, he was going to be put on that gallows or that pole that Haman built, but also all the Jews were going to be exterminated by Haman if his plan had worked out. But God was on Mordecai's side. God was on the Jews' side, his people's side. And Haman ended up being executed on his own gallows. Have you ever been attacked by an enemy? I mean, why even ask? It's really just so I can get you thinking about it. That's why. We've all been attacked in some way by some sort of enemy. And I want you to think about it. David is probably not more specific here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that we can more easily apply this to ourselves. Notice, other than him being in the cave, we don't have a lot more details, because we need to be able, the Psalms were written as songs of praise and also prayers to God. So this is a psalm that we can pray to God when we are suffering or when we are being attacked in our own unique circumstances. It's a model type of prayer. It gives us words of trust in God and praise in God in the middle of suffering or being attacked in some way, whether it's someone who feels like an enemy, a coworker, a relationship problem, or something like cancer or other problems. We're being attacked by an enemy. And David gives us an example of how we can pray to God through that time. I want you to think about this too as we're spending some time in the Psalms for the next month and a half. In the Psalms, the sufferings of David wrote so many of the Psalms, foreshadow the sufferings of Christ, the son of David. And so David suffered, and the greater David, the descendant of David, who's Jesus, suffered. David suffered, and we learn from David's suffering. But Jesus suffered, and we not only learn from Jesus' suffering and the way he handled it, but he enters into our suffering with us. Jesus can pray for us, interceding for us before the Father today in a feeling way, feeling for us, because he suffered when he was on earth. Do you see that? He knows what it's like to live on this earth. And in fact, he knows that it's so hard because people killed him. And so he can feel what David is praying here more than anybody, because he was completely righteous and innocent. And so we have a mediator who prays for us in heaven today and yet relates to us. Take a look at verse 7. Because of all these truths about who God is, because of the refuge he can take in him. Verse 7, David says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn." Now, I don't know about you, but how about, "O God, my heart is trembling." But David says, "My heart is steadfast." Do you see the difference? Sometimes I'm in the, "Oh God, my heart is trembling" line. But David here says, "Nope, my heart is steadfast," because I'm going to praise God in it no matter what. David says his heart is steadfast twice, just like he asked for mercy twice at the beginning of the psalm. So his trust in God is growing. Do you notice that? It's kind of like if you watch the progression of the psalm, it's like he was in the cave taking refuge from the storm, and it reminded him of the refuge he's taking in God. And then as he's singing this psalm, and praying to God, he's moved outside of the cave now with his guitar. That's what a lyre is that we see there in verse 7, an early guitar. And now he's praising God. It's kind of like he's outside. In fact, he says, "Awake, my glory." Glory in the Psalms is sometimes used to talk about our being. He's telling himself, "Hey, my glory, my being, who God created in his image, wake up and praise God." He's telling his heart to wake up. So part of preparing our hearts to praise God when we are in what he calls a lion's den, whatever shape that is taking for you or whatever it will take or is taking right now, what we are called to do is to preach the gospel to ourselves. Rather than listening to ourselves and just getting down by listening to ourselves, we're called to preach the gospel to ourselves. Do you see what David's doing here? He's preaching to himself. He's saying, "Awake and praise God. He's telling his heart to wake up and to be steadfast. It's like saying, Tim, Jesus died for you. So be steadfast. Trust in him in the middle of this soul. Wake up, tired soul, and praise God. And then look at verse 9. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. David just doesn't just stop at the mouth of the cave. He doesn't just stop with praising God among his fellow Israelites at the temple, even though he writes this to be sung at the tabernacle, and then later the choir master for the tabernacle and usage at the temple that would be built later. But when David says peoples, look at verse 9. There, I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. That means people groups. He's making it clear by saying the end of verse 9, he's going to sing praises to God among the nations. Do you see what's happened here? It started out so personal. He is going through a hard time. But then as he trusts in God, as he calls out to God for mercy, as he receives help from God, as he sings praises to God, he realizes that God is not only his refuge, God is not only the refuge of Israel, but God is the refuge of all nations. Notice in verse 10, we wrap it up with this in verse 10, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. So when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that led to God exalting him in heaven and to the spread of God's glory over all the earth. That's why we can go to almost any nation and find some sort of church. Yes, maybe it's a small church. That's why there's still a need for missions. Maybe there's many who still need to know God, but we can find God's people all over the place. The reason that we have all those missionaries on the board in the adult education room, the reason we send checks out of our church budget to them each month, the reason we try to reach our own community, the reason we just had the block party, the reason that we just worked so hard to put on FCA camp, the reason some of you are going to help with flood disaster relief in Jesus' name is because of what he says in verse 10. Look at that again. It's because of who God is. Your steadfast love is great to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God. That's why we serve in Jesus' name. That's why we want to spread God's glory. It's why we want to make sure people know who Jesus is and that God loved them enough to send Jesus to die for them so that if they trust in him, their sins can all be forgiven. They can have a relationship with God today, and trusting in his resurrection from the dead, they can go to heaven when they die and have their own resurrection. Notice this in verse 10. It's really important. When David thinks about God's greatness, he not only gets lifted beyond his own problems, but he wants others to know God. This past Thursday evening, when we were wrapping up FCA camp, that storm that I mentioned happened. We were so grateful to be in Riley Rink. We knew it was coming, and we planned to be there on purpose, but so grateful that we had access to that. And that huge, intense storm came. Do you guys remember? It was like 2 hours plus before sunset, but it got completely dark, black skies, driving rain and lightning. And the storm really got the kids' attention as well as the adults. And I was teaching the Bible lesson that night. And like I mentioned earlier, I asked them, how do you stay safe in a storm? What do you do in a storm like this if you're outside? And we all agreed you should go inside, somehow find some sort of refuge. And here's the deal. This is what we've seen in these verses, starting in verse 1. We can sing like David, even in a storm, because we've taken refuge in Jesus under the cross. As that storm passed by outside, the kids were singing inside, "You are good. You are good." And then as I walked outside, I saw this amazing rainbow after the calm, the promise of God's mercy. So remember, brothers and sisters, this promise of Psalm 57:1. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. Let's pray. God, in the middle of this storm right now, we come to you as our refuge, and we thank you that you are our refuge, God. God, we, even as we continue to pray for our community and some of the destruction people have experienced, God, we just pray that this psalm can be a picture in our heads and in our hearts, Lord, of the refuge we can find in you, no matter what kind of storm it is, whether it's a physical storm outside that threatens life and property, or whether it is a medical condition or diagnosis, or whether it is a relationship problem or some sort of horrible situation like David was going through a horrible situation. God, we thank you that you are a refuge. And God, it's one thing to preach that. It's one thing to read it and to say amen and to want to believe in it. But God, we just confess it is so hard to live this out. And so we just bring our weakness to you this morning, God, and ask that you would make us strong in you. Make us strong in faith in you and trust in you. And God, help us to trust in Jesus, the one who took the storm of God's anger against sin so that we can find refuge in him. God, if anyone here doesn't know Jesus as Savior this morning, I pray that they would simply pray to him and ask him to save them today so that they can know they'll be in heaven, so they can know that they won't ever experience God's punishment against their sin, God's judgment. Jesus, we thank you for taking that storm for us. Because of that, Lord, give us joy in whatever we go through. Help us to trust in you and to sing even if we feel like we're in a cave. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Well, as you stand to sing,